Welcome to a very special episode of Attention Deficit and Hyperactive Dragons. It's one of those ones without a number.
What makes it so special?
We just finished season one.
Did we?
Came out on
Holy
Monday.
Crap.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Also, we launched a Patreon. I talked about it at the very, 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 very end of season
It's gotta
one
wait 10 seconds.
Finale. You gotta wait a couple seconds. And then, anyways, we started a Patreon. It's real fun. Caleb DMs the first campaign, but so far all we have is bloopers, which are hilarious.
I've listened to them possibly more than once. I don't feel great about it, but they're funny.
They're pretty funny.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty funny. The fridge makes an appearance.
Audrey helped me make them.
The beepy sound, that was my idea.
That was solid.
It was good beepers.
I definitely had the idea. Like, way before that.
No, my idea was the clicky sound. Never
yeah.
mind.
That's what I was going to do, like, way before. But yeah.
We'll cut that and just leave your idea. It was your idea.
No, but it wasn't my idea. My idea was the clicky sound.
The clicky sound?
Well, we didn't do the clicky. No.
Oh. Okay.
You know, I love recording things on Wednesdays, but also when we're doing it,
it's a sweet hot mess.
I'm like, why are we doing this? Because we're all exhausted. I have like two brain cells. So, Sebastian, what are we doing here?
So we're going to go down the list. If you guys have any questions or things, mysteries and stuff about any of the episodes, we're going to ask Daniel.
Oh, boy.
And he's going to have to make shit up and hopefully not ruin any of the later plot.
Or if you have if it's something I can't tell you, I'm just not going to tell you.
Okay.
Or if you have questions for another character.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can pitch it at each other.
Questions in general.
We don't have to be this all about Daniel.
Yeah. I guess we could go from episode one or go backwards from season finale because that's freshest. Probably easier to think about it from episode one.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Episode one. It's harvest season. What happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
This is where we met our three grand adventurers.
We met Gustav as well.
Yeah, you did meet Gustav. You met Ranger Rick, who one character here doesn't like.
He's all right.
you were dropped off in the sweet little town of Havencrest, went into the woods. There were some farts.
There was.
Some inappropriate child humor. And
did I fart on episode one and episode 18?
Yeah, you did. You did.
Brought it full circle.
Yeah. You discovered the main antagonist of the first season, the vampires.
That was season two.
No, that was episode two. No, you discovered them in episode one.
No, because it ended with a scream.
Yeah, but they were stalking you around in episode one.
No, but actually whatever was episode two. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No.
This is all the same era.
Hey, Daniel,
why vampires? What's step into that question?
Oh, God, why did I choose vampires?
Yeah.
I think at the time I was listening to podcasts, and vampires probably got brought up, and I'm like, fuck yeah, vampires are cool. Let's do some shit with vampires. So I started writing a story about vampires in state parks. I was probably listening or watching something involving parks and listening to something involving vampires. I just don't remember what it was involving vampires, but I'm like, fuck yeah, vampires and parks. Let's do this.
That is simultaneously the funniest and smartest thing I've ever heard of, but also the most ridiculous and dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Like, you can 100% track the stories I write based off the media I consume.
That makes sense.
Holy crap. That's brilliant.
I have two questions.
Yes.
One, how much of the story did you have written on episode one?
So much story.
You did? Okay.
So much story. Because I had, like, several weeks of prep to do at lunch.
Yeah.
So there was a ton of writing going on.
Okay. So, like, episodes worth of shit.
Mm-hmm. There was up to Killing Grungle written episode one.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's about six episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. And then the second part of that question was was there any episode that you were the least prepared for?
I have to find the episodes of those ones or just in general
season one.
I was searching through that. I do have a question. Why'd Gustav have to die? I love that guy.
Because I could. That's why.
That's
because
right.
I could.
He's a kind and benevolent god.
Yeah. Definitely wasn't a spur in the moment thing.
Could have killed Rick. Be more happy with that.
I like Rick a little bit more.
But Gustav could have taken over.
Yeah.
Don't make me feel bad for the choices I made.
It wouldn't have gone great for me.
Want to do the
Gustav didn't like
accent.
Me.
That's fair. I forgot about that bit.
Hold on. I don't think it was just Gustav who doesn't like you.
What?
Who else doesn't like
you? You don't like me either?
No, I
don't. Oh, no, Daniel.
No.
Hey, Sebastian, this is the moment we're actually going to tell you. You're off the podcast.
Oh,
voted.
God.
Whoa, whoa,
oh, no. Whoa.
Sorry, we had to wait to the season one recap for that one.
Yeah, sorry. Even though we've recorded at least about 10 episodes of season two. Oh. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, probably about 10.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like Hot Mess Express, even though I had a shit ton of... I had stuff written, did not come out. It was like, no.
Oh.
Hot Mess Express was a weird one.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so dumb. I don't know what happened in any of our episodes.
Hot Mess Express, the very end of it, you got shot.
Oh. I should remember that episode.
Yeah.
The trauma of the situation, I'm just blocking it out.
They remember things because they edit things.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's fair.
That's true, yeah. Because we hear it up to three times.
Yeah.
I don't remember shit either. Like, I remember what happened, but I couldn't tell you what episode it was.
Then again, between you and me, I think we're functioning on three brain cells.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
And I don't know who has the two and who has the one. I might have lost one at this point.
It might be one and a half. Maybe one was just split down the middle. That's why I occasionally make puns and dick jokes.
I feel like that's just kind of like an auto response for Audrey.
A what?
Like, that's built into your just like automatic response. Like, for Audrey, it's breathing, eating, dick jokes. I don't know.
She doesn't make that many.
Does she?
She doesn't.
Oh.
Especially, you weren't there when she just rattled one off in front of preschoolers.
Yeah.
And I was stunned. I was like, did she just do that? I literally didn't speak for 30 seconds. I walked back to my office. I'm like, nope, she definitely did make a dick joke there. And I was like, what? I don't have anything for this. I'm stunned for the rest of my day.
Did this happen?
I told you about it earlier. I told the group.
You want to rattle it off real quick?
Was I writing? Because if I was writing,
probably. I made the joke about screwdrivers and mine being bigger.
It's a little better than that, but yeah, it was fucking hilarious.
There was tiny airplane. Tiny airplane had tiny screw that fell out. The tiny screw needed a screwdriver to go back into hole. All of my screwdrivers did not work. And so I asked Caleb, I say, in your office, Caleb, do you have tiny screwdriver for eyeglass? And he goes, no, I do not have tiny screwdriver for eyeglass. However.
Keep going. This is good.
However, I will try. And he comes back and tiny screw is back in tiny hole in tiny airplane. And I ask how you do. And he says... And he says, I use screwdriver regular size screwdriver, and I just made it work. And I went, oh, well, all of my screwdrivers were too big. In front of, like, three or four kids.
Two things real quick. First of all, your next character should have that voice.
Yes,
a lot of it was a look. I thought about that, too.
Audrey, do you have any questions about the campaign?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, episode two, Midnight Kerfuffle.
Yeah. Okay.
That's when we fight vampires.
That's when you get first introduced to the vampires.
And we fight them.
No, you don't fight any vampires.
Well, we don't
You
fight
witnessed
them.
A bunch of adventurers fight vampires.
Oh, yeah. Mm. And then episode three, Wet and Distressed.
Wet and Distressed.
Back to town.
You're back in town. And
wait. Can we back up the last one?
Yeah.
No, I just remember the question about what the fuck was that group? Was it just a random group of people?
Totally. That was just like a group of people that was supposed to be there to establish that there were vampires.
Because like, I was getting
and
a
they
vibe.
All died.
Yeah, 100%. Like that entire nighttime thing was 100% planned out to just be like, hey, there's something in the woods fucking around, and a bunch of people just got killed by.
So
them.
They didn't come from anywhere. Like, there's no reason that they knew about the vampires. They just were there for plot.
They were there hunting vampires, but also to just build plot.
Okay.
Yeah, entirely.
I still have the holy symbol from the person I took.
Yeah.
And every time I look at it, I'm like, that was part of an order of vampire hunters that we had never circled back to.
No, it's totally like they were 100% just expendable.
That makes me feel better that
they were there. They were there for story building.
That they did.
Yeah. That's also the episode where Gustav died. Because I could.
I was about to ask you again why.
Because I could.
Can we have Gustav's son, Gustav?
I mean, you can resurrect Gustav.
That's too much work. I'm a rogue that knows no magic. You gonna ask me to go revive somebody? Fuck, that's way above my pay grade, bud.
Listen, you guys have bigger problems in the current story.
I don't have any problems.
I can predict the weather.
Yeah, you can.
And I have been able to do that this entire time, and I haven't used it until, what, like, last episode, is, like, what, 10 into the second season?
That's entirely...
We live in the right now where we can predict the weather. Is it very useful?
Up to 3 days usefulness. Otherwise, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, but we also live in a place that's like the worst weather we're going to get. It's like, hey, guys, it's going to get really wet outside. If you went in a place that's like everything's going to be shut down, snow, everything, that'd be a little bit more useful. Prepare your life.
I live my life. I wake up, I look out the window and decide what I'm wearing based on the color of the everything outside.
That's fair. And we're blessed with an area that does that. I also live my life a quarter mile at a time.
No,
you also have like a work outfit though.
I do, which is like,
and you work indoors.
Yeah, the exact same outfit every single day.
You just can't tell when you can't tell when I change it. Is the thing, because the same jacket and the pants alternate, and they're both black.
Oh yeah, I know they change. It's just there's black pants. It doesn't matter.
The shirt also changes like every day, but you can't see it because I'm always cold.
Listen, let's just establish it's 110 degrees outside, and Sebastian will still come in pants and a jacket. Me and everyone else in the building will be sweating their balls off, and Sebastian's just there in the corner like,
it's pants fine. Pants and a jacket.
This is fine.
Daniel, you've run into the longest con. He's just fucking with you. It's been like a year-long prank.
That's a really weird prank. I feel like this is more detrimental to Sebastian than anything.
No, I'm fine. It's cold. My half of the shop is fucking cold. I don't like it.
It gets worse when I stand up on the driller table.
That makes sense.
Like my legs are totally fine, but my head's like on fire.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I don't know who thought putting the heaters in the fucking ceiling was a good idea. Heat rises.
It's so awesome. The heaters in our building are both like up in the corners.
That's just how the warehouse heaters work.
And you turn them on, and like if you stand in one specific spot, like the top of your head gets like gently grazed by warm air. Yeah. It's great.
Got it. So kerfuffle, anything happened?
Midnight kerfuffle. Oh, we introduced my favorite sound effect in the entire game.
No, that was Wet and Distressed.
Fuck.
The shower.
The shower sound effect.
The shower.
That was my favorite because I found it.
Yes.
I think Midnight Kerfuffle was also when we discovered the party is slightly alcoholics. Because your solution to watching your park ranger buddy get horribly murdered.
Was that when Velvet and Xylus had a alcoholic powwow?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Xylus trauma dumped on Velvet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
made gold in the poker game.
You did make gold.
Sorry, not in the poker game, because someone cheated. We caught him and then made a poker game.
Yeah.
It's coming back to me now.
Yeah. The first couple episodes weren't super interesting because we were still getting in the groove.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's mystery. What's the next episode?
Wet and Distressed. The one that has a crazy...
That was the first, like, real fight.
Yeah, that was the first real fight when you guys fought a bunch of vampires in the hotel room.
Oh, okay.
And then next up is Nice Little Hullabaloo.
What are the... Are we going to ever counter the vampires again?
Possibly.
It wouldn't be the same.
Probably wouldn't be the same.
So what are the dogs?
The dogs?
Or the dog-like creatures?
The little white ones?
Yeah.
Those are essentially just like vampire minions. They had one HP, and they were there to just absorb damage. And act like worker bee drones and just collect blood to bring it back to the brood.
Fun.
Yeah, right?
Somehow that image is worse than I thought it was going to be.
Well, do you remember like the whole thing where you took one apart and they had blood
sacks?
They had blood sacks on their limbs.
I totally forgot about that.
I did too. When you said it, it brings back memories. Okay, next up, what was the?
Oh yeah, I wanted to add some light onto why Daniel and I probably remember more is because we listen to it at least three times because we go when we record it, when one of us edits it, and then the third time is when we have to re-listen to it.
When we re-listen to it when it's published.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we totally listen to all episodes before they're published.
Definitely. We definitely.
No, we don't edit all in one shot and hope it's good. That's not how we go.
We definitely don't just publish and go, hope for the best, and don't have very personal information get released ever.
That's never happened.
Ever.
I've never done that.
If it wasn't for your tones, I would have believed you guys because I don't fucking remember shit.
Yeah. Sebastian does this crazy thing where he waits till the day before it has to be published and then powers through it all in one evening.
Yeah.
It's worth this.
I edit as close to real time as possible. I can tell when there's pauses and how to edit the pauses. And I just click, 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 click while it's playing and I listen to it and it goes through. Okay. It's great.
You're a goddamn madman.
So, like, I will every day after work sit down for like an hour or two and like gently edit the podcast while making dinner.
I've edited so far 10 minutes of the first episode and then got busy and couldn't continue doing anything else.
Of your podcast.
Yeah.
Of his Patreon.
Yeah.
Release.
Hold on. If we keep the... Audrey gets to edit possibly one day too if we keep up the... Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I don't remember what happens in Nice Little Hullabaloo.
Neither do I.
100% don't remember what happens.
Is there a description? Nope. This is before I started writing those.
Is this after Wet and Distressed?
Yeah.
It's probably a continuation of the fighting.
Ooh. We got a little house thing that we were supposed to stay in. The rangers, like it was the family.
Oh, yeah, the gnomes.
We stayed in it for one night.
Yeah, the halfling family. And then you...
got a letter for a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. To go to the lighthouse to go see the ghost child.
Yes. We learned about that next, and then the next episode is Oi Dickhead. Terry just shows up at the lighthouse.
Well, because you guys leveled up and Audrey gets her ethereal animal companion, mm-hmm. which turned out to be a badger with a... accent that may or may not be Australian/New Zealand.
Fun fact, Oi Dickhead is the shortest episode at 59 minutes and 4 seconds.
It's only...
Hey, Audrey.
It's only 1 minute. Less than a minute.
What? Yes. She's a badger.
Yes, Caleb.
White badger.
My original thing was that if I was going to have a Herengon, like, rabbit person... I really wanted her companion to be something that was like a natural predator of rabbits in the wild. And so that's why I chose a badger because like I said, with her backstory and everything, you know, she was like preyed upon hella hard, but was saved by an animal that should be predatory to her.
A badger?
So it's kind of, yeah. So it was kind of this, I don't know, like miraculous, like thing of grace instead of just a random like... Oh, man, an orc saved her, you know? And then also I felt like that tied in with the Abbey, too, and, like, the graciousness of those people and how kind they are and stuff. That's why Terry's a badger.
Why the name Terry?
Ooh, Soteria.
Soteria is... So I have a habit of naming my characters after Greek mythology. Like, my last character, her name was Persephone, and her companion was a snow leopard named Styx, like the river nymph. And so this character, I went with Velvet, which was more of like a literature-based reference, like Velveteen Rabbit. But I still kind of wanted to like go with like a Greek mythology type of thing for her companion. And so basically Soteria is a protection... I don't remember if it's like spirit or protection, like lower goddess or protection nymph or something. But basically, funny enough, like Soteria was some sort of protection being that was involved with Persephone in Greek mythology. So I thought it was cool because it like all tied together because Persephone is like Velvet's mom and stuff. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Don't forget about
so,
that.
So basically the, it's protector.
That's fabulous.
Terry's just easier than Soteria.
It's very much
very much is.
It is Terry with an I, though. I do want to specify that.
I really enjoy we all have our own naming kind of things.
They're all
naming
great.
Systems,
naming
yeah.
conventions. Like,
mine are references to like video games
media.
Or pop culture.
Yeah.
Something in media.
It is something media related. Generally nerdy.
Daniel usually does science-based.
I always, for my names, I always just look up names of famous scientists and mash two together. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I just Greek...
I'm not just Greek, though. I'm, like...
Mythology.
Just mythology in general. Gods and goddesses.
There are a couple exceptions to my rules, like Sir Spoons.
Yeah. I usually like to tie mine in very much just the character. I don't, like... I, like, with my last one, Fox, Foxtrot, he was a Warforged. Fit in a little bit. Rose, I just can't really go into fully on that one, but I really enjoy just some of the stuff I do.
I mean,
like, it just sounds
she's
cool.
She's named after Rosalind Franklin.
A little bit.
Influenced, yeah.
It's like
influenced.
A nod to Rosalind Franklin.
A little bit.
Because named after.
Well, because, yeah, isn't her first name Rosalind, but everyone just calls her Rose?
It's Rosalind.
Rosalind, sorry. And I
but it
up,
was.
I
it
came
was.
Up with the name when I was looking up names. I was like, oh, yeah, Rosalind Franklin.
And Thompson just sounds cool. Sounds like a scientist name.
It's also a gun?
It is also a gun, yes. A gun. That's yeah. true.
It's the
yes.
most expensive submachine gun ever built. Anyways.
What's the next episode?
So did we cover Oi Dickhead?
Yep, Oi Dickhead.
Oi Dickhead.
We named it entirely Oi Dickhead because I said that 9,000 times.
Yep, well...
And I feel bad for it, but...
Discount Captain America.
Oh, fuck.
I saw that you were drinking a drink while I said that.
Oh, hold on.
And I'm so sorry.
Hold on. We need to talk about what Oi Dickhead led to. So you guys were given a mission by the spirit of a dead girl to go find her murderer.
Oh, right.
Which then led to Discount Captain America occurring.
Trying to find Grungle. Which, I don't know if this was Discount Captain America or Oi Dickhead. One of those two is where I felt like I played Xylas absolutely like the best I could have played Xylas. Because I like used him as a charismatic character in general. He doesn't have high charisma, but like talk to somebody. And then like that it just happened to be 5 minutes.
100%.
5 minutes ago, Grungle went to the train station.
Oi Dickhead.
And then I just yelled out for Grungle. Yeah. And just everything worked so perfectly.
Everything worked entirely because you got that.
And then Charm Person actually worked when we killed Grungle.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely at the end of Oi Dickhead. You were like, you walked into the wood industry office. I can't remember the name of it. And you're like, hey... Where is he? In the train station. Also, for the record, when you said Discount Captain America the first time, just for the listener, I almost choked on a beverage because Sebastian said it and I didn't expect it and it was funny. Almost just either choked or spit it at Sebastian, so that was fun.
Yep.
You're a bastard, Sebastian.
Yeah, I'm a bad person right there.
Yep.
Daniel, I have a question.
Always.
How did you create Grungle?
So I was creating Grungle. I'm like, all right, he is a person who murdered a small child. And I think at the time... I had the term soft hands pretty boy for some reason had come up that day and it was on my mind. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make some shithole soft hands pretty boy that killed this girl because she saw something. And I'm like, what's a race that you would not expect to be a soft hands pretty boy? Fucking half-orc. So he's like a really clean, neat, tidy, pretty half-orc man who's works in business. Who just goes around boning everything in his path.
I think on the first season, Grungle is one of my... one of my favorite characters. Not because what he does or who he is, but how it's constructed. It's constructed so well. And I want to hate him. Like, killing him, probably the second highlight of the fucking season one.
Oh, and also at the time, I was watching a video about, how K-pop... stars work and that depressing thing and the whole idea of the pretty boy K-pop star also came into mind.
He's a very well constructed villain of you have to hate him.
So he killed the child because she witnessed him boning a dude.
Also, the name Grungle reminds me of the monster from Beowulf or something that would be very similar to the word taint.
What?
It's called the Grundle. Called the Grundle. Yeah, something like that.
Grundle.
No.
Yeah. Or you have, instead of having the taint, you have the Grungle.
Yeah, something like that, right? It just feels like it's somewhere between the two of those, and I'm not sure where.
Grungle plagues this land.
Right?
Yeah. No.
Or you got the Grungle. It's not great. Either way.
Yeah. So he was supposed to be just the snobby pretty boy that everyone hates. That's what it was.
Well, that worked.
Yeah. We now need to talk about why that episode is named Discount Captain America, because Caleb decided to throw a trash can lid at a police officer, which was my favorite move. I think one of my favorite moves any person has ever pulled.
Look.
Out of air quotes, self-defense.
It's a brilliant move.
It went great.
And the way I look back to it, I don't think that's necessarily how Rose would play the situation, but I had a moment where I'm just like, fuck, this is too good. I just have to do this shit, and it's going to be just funny as hell.
Yeah, I was surprised you didn't let him make the first move, the police officer.
Well, he went to, and all the police officer was going to do is just stand there because he knew that Rhodes had ran into the alleyway.
Okay.
Yeah. And so go ahead.
What did the police officer want? If Caleb had not done that, what would have happened?
The police officer probably would have just stood there and walked in and started looking around in the alleyway.
But why was the police officer following her?
If I remember correctly, they had just gone, I can explain this now, is that Sedora is 100% this super totalitarian police state kind of thing where everyone is watched. So when a police officer witnessed some lady walk up to a random dude and
was watched, we killed the guy.
Yeah, no, that the town pretty much does not exist anymore. When the police officer noticed some random lady walk up to a guy, witness them, then go out into the woods and then come back alone, that should be suspicious.
That's actually, I never thought of it that way. That's fair.
So,
that's
like, when the lady comes back and grabs the suitcase of the guy that was just, like, did not come back from the woods, that shit's suspicious as fuck.
Huh. So, kind of to the point where, like, Daniel's talking about he was just standing there, I'm like, I could have this, like, 30-minute standoff with Daniel with hiding in a trash can. Like, that's probably what Rose would have done. But narratively, that no, just sucks.
That was
like,
dumb.
We're not just going to be like, I'm just going to sit there. And I was like, well, he's just going to stand there. Like, we could have been back and forth.
That's absolutely fair.
And narratively, yeah. I'm like, this is stupid. What's fun?
It was the proper choice.
What's a good narrative choice? Oh, yeah. I have a trash can leg.
It was the proper choice.
I'm just going to fucking Captain America.
I love you for it.
Yes.
And that episode ended with you guys in the woods, I think?
I think it ended when we got back to the lighthouse.
Oh, yeah. It ended when we got back to the lighthouse. And I missed Elf on the Shelf.
Oh, right.
And which leads us into Hot Mess Express. I think one of the... That was a rough episode to
record. That's another short one. That's an hour of just fighting, basically.
Yeah. It was a rough one to record and edit.
Oh, my God. We were... That was a Wednesday episode. Yeah.
That was a Wednesday episode. We were like, we should never, ever record on Wednesdays.
That definitely has Wednesday energy.
Yeah.
But I also want to point out the fact that I think between the three of us, I mean, me, Sebastian, Audrey, we were so close so many times to winning that fight.
Yeah.
The dice rolls were just like, nah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
That was really close.
Really up to the rolls.
Like, yeah. I remember listening back to it. I'm like, the first time, I'm like, oh, man, just kind of bad rolls. I listened to it again. Like, you listen to it again, and it's like,
nearly beat their ass.
Yeah. It was almost super fair.
Yeah.
And like, towards the end, even like I had advantage on like three attacks. Miss. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's one of those times where like the dice will determine it and makes it narratively great. Like, but it's also like, man, if one thing between the three of us went our way,
yeah,
we would have won that fight.
Yeah.
And it just didn't.
Yeah.
But it made, I think, a better narrative choice.
Yeah. Which then after you guys got your asses beat down, you met the main, who turned out to be the big bad guy of season one. The Duke.
Which we didn't necessarily know was the big bad guy of season one till the end of season one.
Kind of, yeah.
I really thought it was just going to be like some random side thing that we forgot about.
What, the Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, here's... There was actually like a proper vampire lord who was like the lord of all the vampires.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
We never talked to him ever again. The French dude or whatever?
Yeah, you never
Lisp.
Fucked... Yeah, you never fucked with him again. Yeah, never. Like, he was the proper, like, lord leader of the vampires.
Yeah. But then he was created by this guy.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So I thought about like, think about that. Cause just going back and like re-listening to like the episodes. Like I thought that would be like two things. I thought for that, like, cause I thought, okay, we have to kill the Duke. Then we find information to go after the vampire lord. Or I thought the Duke would be a step to, I know it's playing on old things, to the Dame.
Yeah.
And it could be, I have no idea, but I was like, oh, we're going to kill the Duke. Then we're going to find, oh yeah, the Dame, like a massive Dame involvement. Kind of like, oh, everything points back to Thanos type of thing. Like,
yeah.
Type of like, oh, Loki's just a minor villain. There's actually Thanos trying to tell him what to do type of thing. And it's just like, nope, season one's over. I'm like, fuck. Okay.
Going back to the episode about Grungle, there was like, I had this whole big story thing written of like, you guys fought, like, I thought what I thought was going to happen was you guys were going to be following Grungle the whole time, and you would go from like, you would
I
go
wanted
to
point this out.
You wanted to, you were going to go, like, my whole plan was for each one, you go to each one of the major cities on this coast just so you could like get established that they exist and see them at least once. But no.
And then we just merged them in the woods and then moved out on our merry way.
I want to point out the moment that was ruined was when there was a point that Daniel told me this when we were at work. There was a point we were supposed to lose Grungle.
Yes.
Then I just decided to yell out Grungle's name, and Daniel had not planned for that specifically.
Well, there was the luck check of like...
That was it.
Yeah. No. What made it happen was the luck check where you were in the office of... Mm-hmm. And you rolled that luck check, and it just so happened that the luck check made it so that he had just left like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So you were on the same train as him. That's what made it happen.
I really enjoy that we're going back through this and how much is like... Oh, that's a dice roll as opposed to narrative choices.
Yeah, 100%. Like, if you would have rolled any worse, you would have been one train behind him.
And even then, we're like, there's times, a couple times, we're like, okay, we're on the same train as him. Do we kill him in, like, this next stop? Or do we wait to Major City? And I think we had the argument of, like, well, a small city's not going to have a great police force. This big city, that's probably going to have a tougher police force. They're like,
yeah, 100%.
We'll just kill him in the woods. Like, we just came, like, anything could have happened when we just do, like...
Like, you were supposed to go to Isladel and then Kaelay and then make a trip over the mountains into Solora before you came back to Havencrest. In any one of those cities, you would have had a chance to kill him. And also, there was 100% shit in those cities where you would have gotten, like, more quests you could have come back and done.
So I don't know about the other three, but I think besides Daniel, I don't think any of us really plan stuff. Like, I occasionally be like, okay, how do we get out of this situation? But I'm like, I get busy, and so they're like, I don't think about the rest of the week. Then we show up, Daniel's like, oh, yeah, this. I'm like, well, shit, I have like 10 minutes maybe to think about what we're going to do. And most of it's kind of just impromptu, like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, no, I don't at all plan it.
Yeah.
I'd assume you don't.
I mean, not really. Like, I'll think about it, but, you know, it's kind of like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's like
we can't actually do anything, so.
Yeah. So it's like, it's not even us thinking, like I said, we don't really think about it. We don't really plan anything. We, like, we show up maybe 10 minutes down. It's like, oh, yeah, this is the situation you're stuck in. And then we're like, okay, what are we going to do now? Like, it's a lot of impromptu, like, what's our next step type of thing, which I think is a great vibe for what we're doing.
Oh, it's beautiful. What's the next episode?
What's the next episode? Hummus Express 12 Nights of Violence Christmas Special.
Oh, let's talk about this shit.
Oh my god.
Okay, so we just in November, like shortly after we started the podcast, we're just like, we need to do a Christmas episode. And then for several weeks, we totally did not talk about it.
Yep.
Until it was like the week of we needed to release. And then we just decided to be like, yep, fuck it, Christmas episode.
Yeah.
And so I made this whole thing. And when we started it, I had kind of forgotten, like, we're just going to say some of most of your guys' hatred of, like, Santa and Christmas.
Daniel's looking at me.
It's Audrey.
It's me.
Like,
I don't like Christmas.
You don't like Christmas.
I have my own reasons. I think they're valid. Other people around me are, they've told me that they think it's valid. And that's, you know, whatever. I'm not like Bah humbug Scrooge to everybody else, really, kind of, sort of. I just don't like it personally. That's all.
The episode started out very rough.
I'm kind of indifferent to Christmas.
Until you guys discovered, like, what the fuck was supposed to happen.
Yeah, so I'm Sebastian. I'm kind of indifferent. But then, like, the episode starts with our, like, our souls getting stolen from our body.
Yeah.
And, like, I think me personally, I would hate that. Like, someone's just like, ah, I'm just going to tamper with you no matter what.
I was the only one that was down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I saw all the fun that could happen with that.
That's fair.
I was, from the second I found out what was happening, I was plotting on how I was going to kill Santa. Like, that's with fabulous. My bare hands. Yeah. Not even joking. And that's not like.
Dude, you have bare hands?
I was trying to do the thing of, like, okay, like, make sure you don't, like, fuck things up for, like, you know, your dungeon master and, like, whatever. But I also was like, if I'm being honest with my character right now, she would 100% be like hand around the neck at Santa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. So, like, in that moment, I'm like, oh, God, this is totally fucked. They're going to kill Santa and, like, they're going to hate the story.
And what's funny is at the end, I didn't even really want to kill Santa and you still made me kill Santa.
I didn't make you kill Santa.
You didn't make, you didn't,
you,
make,
you kind of killed Santa,
you didn't,
though.
No, you didn't make me kill Santa. It's just, there, it was, the situation became he could die, and then by chance he died. Yeah. Yes.
But that was all you. You the didn't option, roll anything. He just fell off the cliff.
Oh, totally, yeah. I just did it.
It was really sad.
I just did it because I could.
It was, like, a sad way to go.
Listen, that might be why it might be. That's probably why it's one of our least listened to episodes.
I'm just
saying.
Well,
no, because that's the end, so that wouldn't be why.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Just because Christmas.
If Audrey didn't kill Santa, I would have. I had the same thought as Audrey did. I'm like, initially, I'm like, I'm going to fuck this shit up. Wait, Daniel planned something. I should go along. That's why it's so rough. Like, the first minute, we're like, yeah, I want to just fuck shit up. Yeah, I just want to burn stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. Daniel worked hard. Because, like, I've said, exactly. Me personally, even especially Rose, who's all about self-preservation, someone just stole my soul from my body. I don't know the fuck know where my body is at. What the fuck's going on here, bud? I don't believe you in one second. Like, I have no reason to trust you whatsoever.
I guess, yeah, I did realize Xylus was having very blind trust to that whole situation.
Absolutely.
Because he was just, like, so down. It's like, no consequences? Hell yeah!
And I think once that kicked in, once when we started saying, oh shit, I can go, you we can go to Isabel and burn down a strip club,
yeah,
and it's not on us. I was like,
it seemed very much like when the premise of the story hit, like, yeah, you have to go to a strip club called the Pearl Necklace to kill Chaz Dragonblast. You're like, fuck yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. Well, because it was like, we just, like, started with you wake up. And I mean, in my, I woke up first, no? I thought I
yeah,
woke.
You did wake
I
up
I woke
first.
Up first, and then there's this creepy dude looking at my naked bod. And then there's just Santa, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to rock your shit right here, right now.
But, interesting phrasing.
Anyways.
Santa gone wild.
Anyways,
It started off rough, but I think it ended up being one of the funnest episodes we've ever recorded.
I think once the whole premise of it happened, you guys quite enjoy it.
I think we murdered more in that episode than we've done in any other episode.
Oh, you did. That episode was stupid.
That was like a last campaign vibe.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
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 There was more just like, you're in a bar, there's a bad guy. Oh, there's more! Grenade!
No, it was delightful.
One of my favorite jokes I've ever made. Episode.
Oh, God, that joke still came.
Right, Sebastian's a jeweler.
I'm basically a jeweler.
That's a fucking fact. You know what?
I told my mom about that episode.
Yeah.
Daniel.
What about that joke?
I listened to that episode on my way to my brother's house for Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Nice. Daniel, add that to the list of merch ideas. I'm basically a jeweler. Put that in the bumper sticker.
Holy shit. I'm basically a jeweler. Xylus Ramsbottom 2021.
I'm pretty sure that episode wasn't...
whatever the fuck.
Wasn't even completed till like Christmas Eve.
Yeah, because you edited it, so knowing your psychopath style.
Yeah.
It was out Christmas Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I like pre-scheduled it Christmas Eve and then like went to sleep and then went to my parents did Christmas and it was out.
Yeah.
What's the next episode?
Yep, what's the next episode?
Oh, wait.
You gonna guess?
Now that I'm thinking about it also with the whole velvet sequence, we already planned the whole Santa taking a shit in the garbage disposal thing before that episode, didn't we?
I think 12 Nights of Violence was before the velvet thing, and I think before the even planning of the velvet thing.
Really?
Yeah,
because I thought that was like, I mean, because we're super ahead of shit, and then the Christmas thing happened when Christmas was happening, like, so there was an offset.
Let me look at,
I mean, it's not important.
The only thing I remember about the velvet episode,
it's okay, it's fine,
was it was Wednesday, and it was Wednesday energy.
Yeah, it was Wednesday energy. All right, what's the next one, Sebastian? I can also pull it up on my phone.
Paul's Paints and Pigments.
Oh, fuck. So, that one was great.
That was basically our, like, adaptation of a beach episode.
No, that was your mental breakdown. I'm sorry, but that was 100% just, like, a fucking mental breakdown.
Was this the HGTV montage episode? Yeah,
this was after you guys woke up in the woods, were rescued by the park ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Were whisked off to the White House, where you properly met Sir Edwin Hubble and Sir Spoons.
Oh, right.
I just want to say for the record, I didn't wake up until like almost an episode later at the lighthouse.
Which really just happens to Caleb a lot. Just like, I'm going to be a part of this episode. I'm just going to sit here and play on my phone.
It just allows me to riff-raff more make stupid jokes and not actually have to pretend to play a character. You don't actually, no one ever determined, like, there's a very subtle difference where, because I don't do a character voice. But yeah, I just make jokes.
Which this episode allowed me to introduce, allowed me to create possibly one of the stupidest locations ever, which was Paul's Paints and Pigments.
That was just like off the cuff, right?
That was 100% just off the cuff.
Love off the cuff shit.
Like, if we went through the episodes of like what was off the cuff, it'd probably be weird. Like, just what was off the cuff.
I just looked, you were correct. Velvet, Crazy Velvet's inception was in November 28th.
Ooh. Wow. That was a really long...
So, like, that
I
was...
know.
Hold on.
That was...
It was planned for a while.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, I get what you mean now, because the Christmas special was
like,
recorded and uploaded immediately.
Yeah.
And then every other episode was recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, before that.
Yeah.
Now that we're bringing that up, it really throws me off how off we are.
Yeah.
It's like, my brain is in season 2 right now. We're still released.
It's,
like, we just
it's
finished
March
season
9th,
one.
Yeah. And we're in this middle. We're
yeah.
There was one episode towards the end of season 1 where Sebastian's like, someone's like, we're probably gonna hear this in February, and Sebastian's like, yep, great guess. And I look at it. It was like February 9th.
It came out in February.
It was perfect.
Yeah, I feel validated. So yeah, Paul's Paints and Pigments. We got to introduce Paul and his paints and pigments shop and his what is now going to be continually changing employees.
Oh,
yep.
Because why the sock.
Yep. Each time you go
Dick
there,
sock guy was there.
Each time you go there, there will be a different crazy employee.
I forgot about Dick Sock guy.
Yeah. Nope. I forgot about Cock Sock. He also had a giant mohawk and just an apron.
What was his name?
He's fucking no name. He was just Cock Sock guy.
Cock Sock is his actual.
He had a name, but
he might have a name, but he's not an important enough.
Joff Sock Cock.
Right. We did Paul Cock Sock guy didn't even come up until like two episodes later. Yeah. Actually, when I went and paid him.
Oh, God. I think it was just some random, really weird dude in apron that you saw the first time.
Yeah.
He might not have even actually worked there, honestly.
No, he worked.
Are you sure, Daniel? Are you sure that canonically he works there?
I think out of everyone here, I can say yes or no, but we're going to keep that ambiguous. Something did happen that episode that I wanted to like build on, but it never have. Whereas you ate cobalt blue.
Oh yeah.
Which is it cobalt or cobalt?
It's cobalt.
Right.
COBALT.
Because I remember
like the mineral
thinking yeah, it was like cobalt at first.
No,
same.
No, it's not cobalt.
Yeah.
No, you ate cobalt blue.
I mean, you did add a little bit after that. Circle back with being the wrong colors.
I had to forget about that. Yes.
Xylases.
Yep. That episode is very much housekeeping and crazy.
Mm-hmm. Next up, which has above average view or downloads, which is interesting, is We're Off to See the Wizard.
I have a feeling just because of the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I was surprised by that because it's like old Wizard of Oz reference and stuff. And like, do people really care that that's the name? I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, Wet and Distressed has an average.
I'd click on an episode called Wet and Distressed. Yeah.
When they're the only part where someone is wet and distressed is when the...
In the shower, Rangers. Fully clothed during a fight.
So most of the time when someone's wet and stressed, someone ends up disappointed.
Listen, I explore all my options. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Okay. That's where you guys...
We went to go
started your relationship with Sir Edwin Hubble.
And the scarecrows.
And the scarecrows.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I passed out in a paddy field.
I almost swan dived into a paddy field, and then I realized how shallow it was, and then I stopped myself. I do remember that very vividly.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll save you, Silas!
Yeah.
Good thing I stopped myself.
Yeah. I don't think anything super exciting happened in the episode besides you guys meeting. I don't super remember.
Hubble's house is exciting on its own.
Yeah, I guess.
The sit pit? The sit pit.
Yeah, the conversation pit.
Yep. Is this also when Weapon shows up?
Yeah,
it is.
Fuck, this is the episode because last episode you bought Weapon.
Yeah,
this is the episode where your homunculus showed up.
Yeah,
you got introduced to the
He's
Weapon.
Good.
I think it's interesting how it happened to be that Audrey bought Weapon.
I'm not entirely surprised.
I thought we were talking about it like as a group, and then you happened to buy Weapon, and then you happened, and which was the best scenario because it created the dynamic of you bought a human who is mental age of a child who has to do whatever you say, and you want him to have free will, but he literally doesn't.
Yeah.
And he's
so the exact opposite of work.
He's an orc. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yep.
I don't know why it really threw me when I found out that he's a homunculus.
No, he's an animated pile of clay.
Honestly,
I fucking knew that. I was like, yeah.
Well, I didn't know what a homunculus was until like a week or two before that because I hadn't gotten to that, you know, my knowledge of D&D's growing every day. But through podcasts.
Welcome to the dark side.
It's all through podcasts. So... anyways, I had no idea they even existed until like right before that happened. And then for some reason, I just never really put thought into it. I was like, yeah, I feel like Daniel would put me in a situation where I'm ? Ethically having another companion, but no. Making it more hard for me.
There's no question about it. You own a man.
No,
you,
I don't.
You bought
He's
someone.
Made of clay.
You bought a person.
You own a being.
You bought a sentient pile of clay.
It's like a warforged. Just because it's an amalgamation of parts, it still has sentience.
Also, I
know, I just don't like saying it like that.
You paid 150 gold for a dude.
Which is so fucking cheap.
I know.
It's just you wanted to hand it to us with the amount of money we had.
No, it was 100%.
No, it was just a joke, then I took it seriously.
No,
it was in the group chat. I think I have screenshots.
It is 100%. You made the joke. I'm like, that's super stupid, but it's true now.
Good.
And then Audrey saved the chat dialogue. I'm like, okay.
Where he was like, lifetime warranty, 150 gold. I was like, these are good details. I need these details.
And once she saved it, it 100% became true.
Yeah.
She brought receipts.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there was a very long time where I was going back and forth between, like, is Weapon actually an orc, or is he a homunculus? He's a homunculus.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of Hubble, what class is Hubble?
Do you have a
He's a wizard.
Wizard.
He's a wizard.
What's cool?
Or
you just kind of flex it a little bit because it's fun.
I don't actually. I never really thought of a school for him. Like, he's just wizard. He has wizard spells. That's about it. He's really smart. He's wizard spells. I mean, if anything, it'd probably be evocation because blowing shit up is fun.
I thought you were just going to leave it at blowing shit.
I have no comment on that one, Caleb.
Looking good for Xylus, apparently, from that comment.
Oh, God. Special, anything that could happen with that?
What?
You know, anything going to happen between Hubble and Xylus?
Oh, I don't know. Fucking fantasy relationships would feel super awkward. Like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, that fucking character's... Yeah, it makes sense for my character and that character. Yeah, and then other times, like, this is fucking weird. I'm sitting around a table pretending to be a fucking wizards and shit. Like, what is happening? I get too in my head about it. I'm like, no.
So you have a tiny existential crisis. I'm like, yes. What the fuck am I doing?
The limit is, like, fucking fantasy relationships, apparently.
It's a good limit, let me tell you. I didn't know what I was getting into.
I explained it to my dad one time that we're playing video games, but just with our minds collectively.
God. Holy shit.
That's how my dad understands D&D. We're multiplayer yeah. Video games mentally with our words and our brains.
For the record, audience, this is the second time I almost choked on a beer. This one went through my nose.
You know what, though? That's what fun. He finally understood, I think.
That is such a your dad move. Oh my God.
I'm the dad. He's a great guy.
He needs an example of an example of an example to get the original point, and it gets there.
Yeah. Also, the only video game he's ever played was, what was it? Big Pro Hunter 2 or something?
Fuck with the, yes.
With the arcade game with the shotgun?
The PS3.
Yeah.
Oh my God, no, yeah, he knows. But also, my brother had a PS3, and then you could get the attachment where you could, like, shoot it at the thing, the sensor or whatever, and you could, like, shoot. That's the only video game my dad has ever played.
The PS Move? So, like, the glowing ball on the end of a controller?
Yeah, but it's a gun.
Yeah, and you stick it on a gun.
Yeah.
That's so lovely. That's fabulous. Speaking of, do you guys ever play the Wii version of Metal Armor? That was so fun, but also so garbage. So trash. You're like, I shot that guy. The game's like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
I shot him 15 times. No, you didn't. You're dead. Okay. Moving on. What's the next episode?
What's your favorite color? Episode 10.
So, this episode, you guys were given a job by Hubble because you guys had told me we need direction. I'm like, all right, fuck it. You were given a job by Hubble to go to the town of Solora.
And do what?
Go talk to the sheriff, who is...
Oh, who's Fox?
Foxtrot.
Oh.
Which also brings up Solora was created...
Wait.
What? With this not brewery?
This is pre-brewery. What's your favorite color is just before employees only?
Yes, sorry. It was still a mission from Hubble where he was like, I got this note. You should go check it out.
And then we were on a train. This is where we met Marie, technically.
This is the episode where... The random NPC that was supposed to be there for just some character building was turned into possibly our favorite NPC, at least mine.
Yeah. So two things real quick. What's my favorite color? Easily the favorite bit, my favorite bit that we keep doing.
Which reminds me, I talked to Sebastian about this, but we should 100% just make like a small recording where it's Xylus going around on the train and asking random NPCs their color.
Oh, absolutely. And the reason why it's my favorite bit is I forget it exists. Yep. And then, like, after, like, every fifth episode, Sebastian's like, what's your favorite color? And I just fucking
to
lose
random
it.
People.
Yeah, I fucking lose it. And I think, secondly, I think it does it end? Does the last episode end when we're on the train? And then, like, we go to what's your color? Or is it what's your color?
What's your favorite color ends, like, when we're at the brewery?
Yeah. No, what's your favorite color ends at the brewery? But the episode before that ends with you guys, like, seeing the elves with Marie.
Yeah. And so that was very much like...
Where Caleb pulled an Audrey move.
That was true.
Audrey adjacent maneuver.
Yeah, definitely not smooth.
What do you mean Audrey adjacent? He went for the seduction kill.
Yeah, she was way more smooth when she does that though.
Okay, yes.
That was a very much a like... For me, it's like, I need some information. These elves are the same elves. Fuck it. Let's see what happens. And it was so like, once again, one of the few times I go very out of character for, I think, the Children of the Lost, but I was like, fuck it. She wants information. Let's see what happens. See how this one plays out. And it ends like, that was one of the few episodes that ends like, I think I just fucked up. I think Rose might die because of this. I think I massively fucked up.
Well, it turned out fine.
It turned out fine because I re-kicked ass as well.
It probably turned out more than fine, I would say, because...
That's fair.
Thanks.
But that was one of the few times we ended up recording and I'm like, shit, my character's gonna die.
I know, hold on. Why would that not be called an Audrey move? She has, like, perfected the seduction kill. What is wrong with that? He threw his own flavor on it.
I just remember a moment when Audrey was like, not how I would have done it.
once again.
Well, when you have the Grandmaster here,
I don't remember being that bitchy.
I was adding some sass, but
okay,
that's what I was wondering
if you were adding the bitchiness or if that's how you perceived it.
It was not supposed to be.
No, it was. I don't know. It's just. I don't know.
Once again,
that's how it came across.
Audrey move, but not as smooth.
No. It's
I expressed what I expected the underlying intent was when you said the thing.
It's one of those few times that I'm a dude playing a chick that I'm like, I actually don't know how this works from the other side. Like, I don't have that viewpoint.
This might be jumping ahead, but there's something I thought of the level of gayness between Rose and Marie's relationship.
Wait.
It is a guy playing a girl. Another guy playing a girl.
Who are dating.
Whoa, no, we can't say that bit. That's on season one.
Ooh.
No, it's not
at all.
It's in season two.
It's like, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Whoever edits this, probably Daniel, cut that bit. Yeah.
But hold on, we still have to establish the gayness that is Caleb and I, both playing ladies who are, well, have begun to establish a relationship between each other.
Okay, so I think it might be a good time to address this because I asked one of my friends like if they had any questions, and they gave me shit about this. No, we were talking about the last episode, and they gave me shit about this. I never intended it to go this direction. I kept jokingly saying I really love this character. I meant it as like this is a cool character, and eventually I said it enough that people were like, I think Rose has a thing. I'm like, fuck, well, I painted myself in the corner here.
I remember being like, ooh, Rose has a thing or whatever, like a couple times.
I mean, this is probably not even said, but like, Marie was not supposed to be like anything important to the story. Like, she was just supposed to like establish that like the Duke was kind of an asshole who was doing some like minor sex trafficking.
Yeah, and then you encountered a badass monk, Daniel. What the fuck am I going to not do?
Minor? He's not like, oh, can't say that, never mind. Some minor sex trafficking. Definitely not as bad as what you're about
to occur.
I'm sorry,
wait, you can't say what?
I was about to say something that happened in season two that you've already run into.
He didn't specialize in sex trafficking. He just does it occasionally on the side.
My point being, sex trafficking is sex trafficking. There's no minor of the level of sex trafficking.
This is true. Sebastian, that is just what my brain came up with and my mouth created, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, so, like, I just kept saying it, and, like, it kind of became a thing. I'm like, oh, fuck it, we'll see how this goes. And then, like, the season finale came around, totally caught me off guard. Then I'm like, shit, one of those moments, I'm like, shit, this could be a great narrative choice. Fuck, she's fucked up. Let's roll dice. Let's see what the fuck happens here. Oh, well, I lost the luck check, as usual. Let's fucking go with this moment. And it's just stupid.
And also, that was up to the dice, and I'm so glad that...
up to the dice.
Well... You added a modifier. I did realize that.
I know I did add a modifier. Yeah. It was like +4.
Okay.
For being drunk.
Yeah, but even still, the odds are against if you're using the dice, because I rolled, I would have to go high or low. I got low, I think. Daniel would then, once again, on that choice, said, ask me high or low. Even if you changed it a little bit, it's still against any of this playing out. I'm like, I just boxed myself into it.
Yeah. That's about right.
Yep.
Anyways,
Marie's a good character.
Back to employees only.
I don't know what to do with Marie. She's here. Her personality is violence and weed, apparently.
And that's enough, Daniel.
Ooh, and dumpsters.
We should talk about how she started out like a very pure character. Oh, it's like, God. Oh, I don't drink.
Yes. It was in the moment because at that time, I did not think she would be... like the companion of the party.
Main cast.
Like, I did not think she would be coming on all of the adventures. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, she's just kind of like this kind of college student or whatever. She's just a new adventurer who hasn't been jaded yet. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, fuck. Okay.
She went from extra to main cast in kind 2 seconds. Because I was like, it's a cool character. Let's go.
Yeah. And also, being me, I kind of forgot I said that until the recording came around. I'm like, fuck.
It was a while.
Yeah.
Like none of us really.
Yeah, no. I didn't realize until the until I think I had to edit the recording.
Yeah.
So we ended Employees Only, I think, at the end of the tour.
Yep. You ended. Oh, wait. No, you ended when
we ended. What's your favorite color at the end of the tour? And then Employees Only is the one where we blew it up.
Yep. That one was. Yeah, I wasn't sure how to handle that one really.
Really?
That one was super open ended for you guys to deal with. It was.
It went really well.
Like that one was 100% like. There was absolutely nothing written besides the layout of the building.
Huh.
So, and wow. I was just, like, the layout of the building, and there was, like, certain characters in the building that you would interact with, probably.
That was the first, honestly, like, that was the first time that I felt like we had done something where I felt like I was capable and, like, actually helped the party. So that was really good. That was,
You kind of stole what I was going to say. One of the two things I was going to say, first of all, I think this is my third favorite episode. Like it's up there, maybe top three. I don't know about third, but top three episode that we've done that's come out.
It was. I feel like it was the first episode where like we were actually really comfortable.
So yeah, fuck. What I was gonna say is, I've told all of you and told all those people that was the episode. Some of my friends, that was the episode. I'm like, it went so well. How we're doing, all of us interacting, we're doing this role playing stuff. That was the episode. I was like, shit, we got something here.
Yeah,
that was one of those episodes when you hear people go back. I'm like, yeah. No, that was the episode that kind of clicked for all of us. Where we're like. We worked as a team. All three of us worked really well as a team. Daniel did really go just rolling with the fuck we were doing.
Because...
Yeah. No, but like, we've had episodes, but like, even after that, we have episodes that we're all kind of like clunking through it. That was a fantastic episode. That was
easily... Hot Mess Express was a clunky episode.
That was easily, like I said, top three episodes of season one. Probably two. Maybe could be two. It just depends on where you want to rank them. And it was just, like I said, I've told people and told people on this podcast, people out of the podcast who listened, that was the podcast I was like, I felt that came after. And I was like, that was the episode, like, you go after and just everyone gets high fives. That was the episode, like, I felt like we were actually doing something.
We ended it with a high five.
We did end it with high five.
High five, yes.
Yeah.
You know what's next? I completely agree. One of my favorite ones. Did you have anything on that episode to say more?
No, I said my thing.
Okay. Up next, Velvet, nice to meet you.
Let me just pre-represent this one.
I wish that the audience could see my smile right now.
Coming up to this episode, the week that we were going to record this episode, Sebastian and I were at work, and Sebastian just pulled this, like...
I need to never, like, tease you with anything ever.
Sebastian just pulled this New Zealand accent out of his ass one day. Him and I were just back and forth in the machine shop, and he kind of hinted that something was going to happen, and I'm one of those people who are like, I don't like surprises. They stress me the fuck out. So for the rest of the day, I bugged Sebastian about it until he finally fessed up that it was something in D&D.
I said I did a lie, and I said it was for Caleb's campaign.
Which was fine.
Yeah.
That's all I needed. Yeah. But like,
it was not.
And then I just learned today that apparently this had been planned since November.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean...
It was probably... Most 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, right. It wasn't very long before it actually happened. Did it. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
The way the episodes line up,
it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But yeah.
For some reason, I have at least a little bit of a grasp on the timelines of things with the episodes, I feel. Which I feel like just speaks to my concept of time. But
can I say a couple quick things before you guys get into like the heart of this episode?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about this episode until I showed up, and it was on Wednesday. Once again, massive Wednesday energy in this episode.
This was a Wednesday episode. It was an extra long one, too.
And so...
Pain in the ass to edit.
It was one of those things where Sebastian was just like, there's going to be a moment, and we're just going to pause your mics. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they just told us they were going to do something.
And we waited basically like... I would say almost our normal episode, and they finally like click. I'm like, okay.
We were waiting for the long rest.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, I don't blame you guys. I'm just saying I was waiting this entire thing. I'm like, okay, getting nervous. And then we click in and do that. It was also probably in this campaign the most drunk I've ever been.
During a main
thing. Because they did this.
Oh my God, you were.
Yeah, because they did their thing, and it was like a 30 to 45 minutes. Oh, I didn't say
and
a word.
And
I just sat there.
I had no idea.
And I'm just like, shit, it's on me now. I don't know how to play D&D. I'm a little fucked up. I thought we were going to end after this. And so you can definitely tell. There's like 30 to 40 minutes at the end of this episode that I am just stumbling through it.
Yeah.
Hoping, dear God, I don't have to do anything important. Because I have drank like 15 beers at this point.
Jesus
because
Christ.
No one else wanted like an 805 or a Guinness. Like, I think I bought 805s and no one else wanted 805. So I was like, cool, I'm just going to finish this by myself.
I had no idea until like a month ago too. Oh, yeah. Like I had no idea.
I didn't know either.
No, because it came out. Then I realized I've listened to it again. I'm like, fuck, I got really drunk. And I mentioned a couple people and I was just like, that was the most drunk. Because we did an episode of my Patreon campaign that
yeah,
Audrey's like,
I was gonna say, don't worry, Caleb. Yeah. I got you on that one
because
yours, I was super wine drunk by the end
of
it.
Yeah. So we talked about that episode. We talked about that episode, and I was like, no, I think I was probably a little at the same level or more at the end of it. And I just like stopped talking for a lot, even when it's on the three of us. I talk the least amount I think I ever do, and when I do, I'm like really fast and really like quick with my decisions and it's slurred and I'm like, holy shit, I need to get through this quick. I need to think what I'm doing before I do it because I don't know what my next move's actually going to be. And it's really, it's for me personally, it's like, I can't listen to that again. But I think it's pretty funny. It's just like, I go from like most of the episode, actually I haven't planned on what I'm doing, to we take this pause where it's just Sebastian and Audrey. And then afterwards I'm like, what? We're playing D&D? Yeah, I got a...
Dice things going on.
I think I fail. I don't know. I can't do math right now. Literally, I think there's one point I don't really remember distinctly. I think there's one point I counted on my fingers because I was like, shit, how fucked up am
I? I count on my fingers like every roll, but
it's like, it's,
yeah.
Well, I mean, part of it with my job, it's like doing basic math. Yeah. I'm so used to just doing like, oh, what's 8 plus 5? Fucking 13.
What is 8 plus 5?
Back to the whole one brain. Back to one. But yeah, like I said, I listened to it again and I cringed, but I still thought it was funny because I realized the backstory of this was I got unintentionally super fucked up. A lot of beer. I think I even one of the few times when we're doing a main thing that I did hard alcohol because it was a Wednesday. I'm like,
fuck it.
Midweek, I'm like, whatever. And it was before, like, I'm doing the schedule I'm doing now where it's like, I can roll and work at like 9 o'clock. It's fine. I can take that extra 9:30. It's fine. I can take the extra time because it's like me doing the extra. It was the time of like I was doing extra hours. And so I was like, cool. My boss is fine with me coming in whenever I need to, whenever she needs. Like, and it was the thing. So I was like, cool. If I get a little messed up, I know I could stay here, have no problem sleep, and roll and work whenever I wanted to. And it was just like unintentionally because I was like, I was just sitting quietly. So it's like, I'm just going to drink. I'm just going to listen to the funniest story of thing for 4 minutes and just drink.
Oh.
Anyways, so we did the thing.
Yeah, my mom knew about it before anybody else did.
The most loony thing I think I've ever heard. To witness it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It was pretty great. We have somewhere in a recording of the original.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Daniel Do Not Look.
Banter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is called.
And I'm going to listen to it eventually.
So basically that conversation that happens, the whole Velvet Dream sequence was just, okay, actually let me lay it out real quick. I was driving home. I was in a weird mood. And so I was like, I'm going to try a voice for D&D. I'm like alone in my car, like whatever, it doesn't matter, right? And so I come up with that voice. And it's not, you know, it's not super original or anything, but I was like, hey, this is a thing that I can do. And it's based off of a few different sources and whatever. And so I come home to Sebastian and I was like, hey, dude, do you want to help me workshop a voice?
Yep.
And then that entire like dream sequence just happened with we sat down and bullshitted with each other for like what?
Like 45 minutes.
45 minutes. And then was like, and then I was like, we should just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the original audio is out there somewhere, but
I think we need to re-listen to it at some point, and if it's funny and doesn't reveal too much, maybe a Patreon.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
I just really enjoy how much that and the dream sequence stuff gets put out. Just kind of sums up your guys' friendship and relationship. Hey, I got a stupid idea. Yeah? What is it? We're just going to do it for 45 minutes unintentionally. Yeah. And then you guys come like, that's a D&D thing.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of our like, probably proudest things in D&D, I'd assume.
Oh, I think it's fabulous.
It's possibly some of the best like use of sound effects in all of D&D in all of our podcasts.
Oh my god, yeah, the sound effects.
Thank you.
So
oh my god, I put so much effort into that. Thank you.
Like it started happening all of a sudden. I'm like, what was that? What the holy? Like I was at work, like standing on the driller table, having my fucking mind blown. Just like, what the fuck? Holy shit!
I also think probably, if not the funniest sequence that's ever happened in our podcast, one of them, because I was, when we were doing it, we recorded, I died the entire time. I listened to it again knowing what was going to happen and still died.
Still hysterical.
Like, I knew the jokes that were going to be played and I was like, holy shit, this is still funny.
Good.
I also, I do want to make the note, I came home and I was like, yo, help me workshop a thing, and he was like, okay, I'm gonna like try a New Zealand-ish accent.
Oh yeah.
And then Zeke was just born. Like, Velvet and Zeke just out of thin air poofed, and it was great. Yeah.
So no, I think all of us kind of knew that was like that kind of backstory of what you're gonna have. Yeah. You're having that. We just weren't sure where it was gonna make an appearance. And then like me and Daniel was just kind of, like I said, that episode, we were just waiting for something, it makes an appearance in the best possible way.
It's beautiful.
Just absolutely amazing.
Beautiful. I personally, like, I really enjoy that that my character does the whole like switch between like two characters.
It's awesome.
Thing. I really like it.
But it's also terrifying what happens.
Yeah. Well, and like, I'm a person that has like dissociative things and has OSDD. And so it's really cool that I can like play a character where it's like fun to do that. And I'm doing it by choice. So it's, and also I feel like it gives me more freedoms in how I want to act. Like, I have like, here's the more like, kind of like, she does good things and, you know, she's pretty, normal-ish, and then here's this one that paints the walls and like whatever, just something clicks and all of a sudden she's rolling around yelling at people like holding hostages. Yeah, I enjoy it. I feel like it gives me versatility that I haven't had before. So
kind of going with that, I think it's safe to say that all four of us, kind of when we build characters and even NPCs, we put like kind of ourselves in these characters. Like, don't look at me, Daniel, like craziness. You know Greg and you are like the same person sometimes. So like, we build characters with like a little element of ourselves in it. I know Audrey does for a sec. I know for me, I'm pretty sure Sebastian is a little bit the same. Like, when you build characters and we play things, we're making choices that I think we would normally make, like, when we get through it. And it may not be like 100%. Sometimes we emphasize one bit of ourselves more than not. And Sebastian's doing something laughingly. What's up?
I remembered we have our first piece of fan art from my sister.
What?
What the what?
This is Velvet peeking around the corner. It's a doodle.
God,
peeking around the corner covered in paint.
That is,
it's just a
fabulous
doodle, and she might do another one.
Oh my god, I love that so much.
I for some reason my brain flipped it and I kept looking at it sideways and I was like, what am I looking at? I thought it was a kiwi bird.
That's really good.
Oh my god, please tell her I love that so much.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Beautiful.
So much.
Is that like a sticky note?
Yeah, she does a lot of doodles on a sticky note.
That's amazing.
Oh my god.
Okay. That's so fucking cool. Oh my god. I love that. Please tell her I said thank you.
Do we have anything more for this episode?
I have something that Audrey brought up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You said you were practicing Velvet in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You guys now know how I practice and write like 90% of my story. It's mm-hmm. in my car traveling places.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all
it's
right,
a good space.
Podcast off, music on. It's now time to practice my accents.
Aw. Yeah. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. a good space. Yeah.
I've tried the same thing.
Or the shower.
I've tried the same thing in my car. I've hated it every single time. I don't know. That's partially why Rose doesn't have a voice. Is every time I've tried to do something, even me doing like an accent as a guy and just keeping the guy accent, I've hated it. So it's like, I don't know if she's ever going to get one. I'm going to keep trying. Eventually, she'll probably get one, but I'm going to hate listening to it.
You guys want to know a fact about all my characters?
Sure, Sebastian, sure.
I can do voices because I hate them all. I hate all of my characters. I don't like them. They're not good people. So I'm playing somebody who's a bad person and I can do a bad voice for.
Wait, the character from my campaign is a bad person?
Russman?
No, I don't like him. Like, he's okay. Annoying and angsty and whiny
God,
and
that,
shit.
Yeah, no, he's
okay.
A bitch.
Okay.
He's a douche.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's basically one of those things. My secret is I'm always angry.
Oh
yeah, but I think it's probably I have the exact opposite problem. Is I like Rose and I want some perfection with it, and
yeah.
I just, every time I listen, I'm like, nope, that's not good enough.
Why are you making characters that you don't like?
As people, they're more fun to play because they're not me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But you enjoy playing them?
I enjoy playing them.
Okay, good.
But like,
okay,
as
that's
people,
not what I
they
got.
Suck.
Okay, that's
okay.
not what I
they
heard.
Suck.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember who said it, but like there, every single time I make a character, there's a part of us in it. Every single time I make a character, I always try to do something where like they have this weird theme, but it always devolves into this person goes from like, oh crap! One of my characters was a beaver who was like a nature conservationist. Terrorist. He just turned into a terrorist. Every single character I make generally turns into a pyromaniac terrorist that just wants to cause mayhem and blow shit up.
So what does that say about you, Daniel?
I really like blowing shit up and causing
mayhem. Exactly. A little bit. Look.
Yeah.
The same with like Time at Rose. It's like, I don't play. When I build a character, I think of the dumbest, stupidest idea, most ridiculous thing. And it might not like dumb, like intelligent-wise. I think, huh, how can I make this fun for myself? And how can I make it just ridiculously stupid? And there'll be points where this character, you'll find out eventually why I think this makes this character just kind of unique and kind of stupid. And other characters I built, and I'm like, I'm going to go with this really niche idea because I think it's funny for myself, but I'm still going to play the character in a certain way. And parts of me are like, part of it's me. I'm just like, I start off with a really just dumb, stupid idea and I move from there. That's just my motivation when building characters.
I let go of the perfectionism of my characters.
Yeah, I have to start doing that.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That's why they are the way that they are.
What's the next episode, Sebastian?
Velvet Nice to Meet You. Trained Professionals.
Okay, but in Velvet Nice to Meet You, we also introduced Solora.
We did. That was a bar fight.
Right. A bar fight. Which
Velvet
is,
painted a hotel room.
Solora is 100%. I stole that from my friend Braden. He was okay with it, but yeah, I would want to establish that he created the world. I'm just using it. It's a beautiful setting, and I totally love it.
That episode feels like two episodes, but it is one episode
because it was just long, and there's that whole
almost 2 hours. Oh,
that's the point. There was a moment when I start using the Fox voice. That's the most drunk I've been on the episode. Go back and just listen to that part.
It's kind of hard to understand. Yeah,
it is. And I'm just like, I look back and I'm like, fuck, we just need to cut that because I'm just being dumb.
Trained professionals.
We went to the train for the very first time.
Yeah, it's where Fox sends you to the train, which after listening to it, I realized was like a total arbitrary thing that didn't need to happen.
What do you mean?
He told you guys to go check out the train, but I never established really why you should go check out the train, I think.
Oh, well, you did. Cannibals?
You said because the cannibals are going out there. So like,
okay.
No, I think it was pretty well established.
Okay, I wasn't, because after listening to it, I'm like, what? Why did I fucking do this?
Plus, even if it wasn't well established, it ended up, we get a flying train now, so like, end result, doesn't matter.
One of my favorite things.
Well, what was your reasoning?
I don't entirely remember right now why. I think it was just to go check out the train, because I think the cannibals might be out there doing stuff.
No, you had a whole thing. It was okay. And we rolled for history of the...
Okay.
What are they called?
A locomotive.
The L locomotives.
Can you get... I actually... One of the few questions someone actually asked a little bit more of the history of the L locomotives.
I can go into a little bit, but yeah. Because the L locomotives still exist in the world, I can't go super deep into it. They are a... essentially, how the OG L locomotives worked was they had the flying train that they would wander around they would use the flying train to wander around the empty expanse of the Greymire, which is like that desert that you guys were in, and they would just move around, and their whole religion was based off this train. They lived, died, everything off the train, and they just moved around looking for adventuring parties or people who were stuck out in the desert so they could capture them and eat them.
Huh.
Yep. And like, it was very much kind of like a Mad Max thing where like the train was their religion. So instead of like the V8, it was the train. It was like a great honor to die defending the train or be thrown like, you know, Viking burial, be thrown into the fire of the train because that was the greatest honor you could achieve was to power the train.
Kind of reminds me of Snowpiercer.
But I think when Brayden created it, he was going for more of a Mad Max vibe. But yeah, they were just a wandering band of cannibals that an older D&D group I had eventually went out and blew them up in what was probably one of the better fight scenes I've ever had with them.
Oh, so the gang's used to getting flown up.
Yeah. But I can't tell you any more... because the locomotives still exist. But yeah, they're a wandering group of cannibals that enchanted a train to fly so they could get around better. And because they had spent so much time on this train, they got kind of crazy and lived, died, and breathed by the train.
That's exciting, but messed up at the same time.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I think when you guys run into the locomotives again, what's left of them, and probably destroy them, we can go into like a whole thing with them.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So that was when we like found the train, we were sniping and stuff and investigating, or no, they were sniping us and it was like, ah, and scary. At one point, I remember Rose made the decision not to get in the hole with everybody else. That was a great choice on your part.
Super solid decision.
I tried to convince you in the moment. Yeah.
I was like, no, I want to be lower, then I can heal Velvet and stuff. Yeah. It makes sense. But, yeah.
But like, it's partially me pulling from like what I just saw as someone threw a grenade into a hole and killed a bunch of people or a group. Partially also like, foxholes are only good if you have like one person in a foxhole. If you have 5 to 8 people in a foxhole, it's going to be a massacre. It's like, that's me pulling back from what I know from like world. It's like, plus there's a train right there. That's way better coverage than that foxhole that the hole's ever going to be in. It's like, I'm just going to bounce right back in that. And I was like, because I was behind a little bit and we caught up on it. I was listening. I'm like, yep, I tried to tell him, tried to catch up to it and just didn't.
Yeah.
It's a fun episode still, though.
I think that episode was mostly fight.
Yeah.
It was.
It ended with you guys being buried in sand.
What's the next episode?
Boom Boom Box.
You were correct. It was Boom Boom Box.
Yeah. That one was spectacular.
Pistol Pete. Was that the first time we met Pistol Pete?
No, you met him in Training Professionals, but it was only a small interaction.
Okay. Audrey got her signature TNT.
Her box of TNT.
My box of dynamite. I like having a box of dynamite.
Just as an option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. When she made that choice initially, like, that's never going to be used. That's like a waste of money. Immediately came in value there.
Oh, super valuable.
Well, how you just said I made a good choice. Audrey made a fantastic choice right there with that dynamite. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
That's the first time anyone's ever used the box of dynamite.
Really?
Yeah. So it's that's what I had to figure out the mechanics of the box of dynamite.
My character in the last campaign had one, but never used it.
Never used it. I thought you were going to use it so
fast. I think maybe that's why this campaign I was like, nope, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to use it.
I'm ready to do this. Yeah.
I misused Mold Earth.
Thinking
about it, it's like the top layer of this desert was probably sand.
Yeah.
So like the only thing that where it was wrong was like getting as close to the mine as we did.
Yeah, probably.
So.
Yeah, but it was good narrative choice anyway.
Oh, it was beautiful narratively. I really love that episode because you guys just blew shit up and that was cool.
Yeah.
And it worked.
We have one of my personal favorite, like what Rose does of like I threw the sand grenade, ran off, they shot, and then I turned around and just magic erasered 10 people, which I just thought, that was fucking hilarious. That whole sequence, once again, that whole thing with blowing the whole thing up and us getting out and then fighting that. One of those moments that we're like, shit, I remember that.
You played that really well, that whole thing with the cleanup, basically.
That was a moment where I looked at, because you guys were trying, I looked down, I think it's cut really well. I think it was probably a big pause. I looked down, went to my inventory, was like, what do I have? I was thinking about a smoke bomb. I'm like, wait, let's put this below my smoke bomb. Oh, yeah, I have a fucking Molotov cocktail of magic eraser shit.
Yeah. It was also the episode where you guys were in the mountain and you saw the idol thing. And I got so excited because Audrey was like, I want to go look at it. I want to go look at it really close. I'm like, is she going to touch it? Is she going to touch it? Nope. Okay.
That was my choice.
I was so disappointed you didn't touch it.
I think we could all tell.
Don't worry. It still exists.
Don't touch the thing.
It still exists in the world.
I was fairly positive that I knew what would happen if I did touch it. So
we had enough context.
Yeah.
Good willpower on Audrey and Belle's part there.
Now I just get a solicitor in my mind palace every once in a while trying to sell me some weird Girl Scout cookies made out of fingers.
I'd buy that. What's next episode?
Boom Boom Box. Then Marie, the Monolith of Hunger.
Oh, God.
It's just another Hubble episode, basically.
It was another Hubble episode where like I was also still trying to flesh out how Marie was supposed to act.
I think this is a good moment to note that like, sometimes we name episodes because the stuff that happens in the episode, and sometimes we name episodes because we're stupid and we have a group chat of like, what's about 10 ideas?
Oh my
and like,
God.
Half of it's like, that's pretty funny. Half of it's like, that would make me listen to that episode. And we're just like, once again, just reiterating the fact we just throw things out and just spaghetti the wall occasionally. I think this is one of those that we just spaghetti the wall, but it was said in the episode too.
Yeah. And it's also very much a situation where like we all throw out name ideas and then we just kind of like, have to hope Sebastian chose a good one when we wake up on Monday.
Sometimes we have a consensus, but yeah.
I think like going back to it, Train Professionals was one of those that we threw out a lot of puns and train related things. And then I think I came with like, oh, this is really great. Train Professionals. And I was like, fuck, that's a good thing. We'll go with that.
Yes.
And I was like, I was entirely sure. I wasn't sure. I was like, what? I was like, I thought that was what we were going with. And I was like, I have no idea. I woke up the next day like, hey, this is the episode we're listening to. That's what it is.
I remember there not being a conclusion on that name.
I was like,
naming our episodes is a crapshoot, but it's beautiful.
I think we do a pretty good job with it.
Yeah, Marine the Monolith with Hunger was... Actually, if I remember correctly, that's the one where you went to Hubble's and actually went to his library?
We started.
So we can go... That sequence of events, I thought was going to happen in, like, episode two. Not episode two, but, like, recording session, like, two or three.
Because of the asking about the vampires?
Yeah, totally. Like, I thought that's what was going to happen, but no. It happened... 10 episodes later.
I think there's a reason why we didn't, because I think I think you mentioned once, like, oh, we really wanted to do that, but like, if you go there, you're gonna get fucked up and might die. So like, shit, we need to get some more experience before we do this.
No, what happened is, like, you wanted to split the party where one person went to Hubble's,
yeah,
and then everyone else went to the lighthouse.
Oh,
I think that's what happened.
Oh yeah, it was like two people went to Hubble and then one person went light, and so we're like,
yeah,
but even then we're like, yeah, then you might die. So we're all, I think at least me is like, well, we better like level up a little bit, do some more quests. Yeah. And we just got sidetracked.
Yeah, you got totally sidetracked.
We do that all the time. The podcast is called ADHD.
Yep.
That's I think that's an episode where, like I said, I was still fleshing out how Marie is supposed to be. I don't feel great about what she did in that episode. She was like,
she was just like a snack monster.
She was just
she
a snack
tried
monster.
To eat the soup.
She
no?
tried to eat the human soup. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was just a snack monster. I didn't feel great about it.
I realized episode 15, 16, and 17 are all something to do with Hubble. Because it's Marie the Monolith of Hunger, tenderize that meat, and then does our weapon have a dong?
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time at Hubble's.
You spent a shit ton of time at Hubble's.
But in our defense, at least two to three of those episodes, we were fighting stuff and helping him out.
This is true.
That's true. One of those is like where the big baddies come attack his house.
Yep. Which was...
More than that. Yeah, because we...
Tenderize the meat, I believe.
The Marie thing ends in the lighthouse. I mean, the library. We finish up the library fight. We try to go to sleep. Then we get the other fight.
Yep.
Which probably would have taken a lot. That was it? Tenderize the meat was that episode that was like, we started recording 45 minutes and then...
Then realized you were recording through Sebastian's my laptop
microphone.
So I think that probably would have been like, we probably would have had a bigger space between the three of those episodes.
Yeah.
And wrapped up at least something else. But we did 45 minutes. It wasn't recorded. So we just continued on.
Yeah. I can't think of anything crazy that happened in that episode. You got introduced to Hubble's library. I really liked that. I like Hubble's house. Like, I love the aesthetic of Hubble's whole thing in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's something my world I created, but it's probably like... It's a cool aesthetic. I enjoy it.
It's fabulous. The only thing I can remember from the episode is when Xylus shot Rose in the back and almost killed her.
Yeah,
shot.
I was just thinking about that.
Which is, once again, I laughed at that moment.
Oh my God.
That was funny for me.
Yeah.
Listening back to it when I was recently listening, I was like, oh yeah, I almost died there again. Nothing I could do about it.
Tenderize the meat was... You had finished the library fight.
Yeah.
And you were helping... Spoons make dinner.
Yeah, and we did that. We started that fight with the
vampires
and the creature.
Yeah.
Also, Dabs went out in the woods and dropped a tree on someone.
Oh fuck yeah! I forgot about that.
Don't kill anybody.
That was a beautiful Dabs moment.
Don't hurt anybody with your weapons, your fists, or your feet. And he goes, okay, drops a fucking tree on someone.
Because hold on, using Dabs logic. The tree did the hurting, not he.
It's
a little game Daniel and Audrey play between each other that involves Velvet and Dubs.
Yep, no, I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You decided to buy the man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, tenderize my meat. I think one of my favorite episodes.
Tenderize that?
No, not tenderize that meat. Does our weapon have a dong?
Oh.
That is a beautiful episode. Tenderize that meat and does our weapon have a dong has probably some of the stupidest, funniest moments.
So, I listened to this recently. I don't remember listen back to it. I don't remember the fuck what happened. Like, I listened to it. I don't know how we got sidetracked with that. I was not really involved with that at all. And I just sat there and was like, what the fuck is happening? And I kind of remember back to the whole thing of like, I think I spaced out for a little bit, came back to like this conversation. I'm like, what the usually it's me making these bad jokes, and it's Audrey and Sebastian and Daniel just going off. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Because no. I was like, he needs to tenderize the meat, and Sebastian like, does he need to tenderize his meat? Oh my God. He tenderizes his meat, and it got into punching himself in the dick.
That was tenderize that meat. Yeah. Does our weapon have a dong is the one where I figured out I could mold earth weapon.
Yeah.
And then for some reason...
And then...
At the end of... Well...
Yeah, we did.
At the beginning of the episode, there was the very awkward thing of, like, does weapon have, you know, what is a groin?
Velvet and someone, Silas, had to explain groins to
I don't
weapon.
Think weapon doesn't entirely understand either what's going
on. We didn't really explain anything either.
Still
like,
confused.
It's, we didn't, we...
Yeah.
The space
you,
in between
you kind of explained things, and I was like, it doesn't matter, you're good.
Like, he still doesn't quite understand what dong, what groin slash dong is.
Yeah.
But at the end of the episode, right before, like, when you're choosing your disguises, right before you're about to go into the mayor's house, nearly killed me at work listening to it.
The disguises?
This whole disguises, because for some reason you're like, I need to mold earth weapon, and we're...
Oh, handsome Squidward.
Handsome Squidward.
I forgot about it again.
You handsome Squidward, and then they're like, how are we going to make him look different? I'm like, oh, you could make him shorter. And you're like, oh, cool. And then for some reason, it got back onto weapon. Does weapon have a dick? Does weapon have a dong? And then for some reason, I think Caleb rolled for length.
I suggested. I don't think I ended up rolling for it. That was just, it's... But looking back on it, it's such a brilliant, just nonsense setup episode that I will, if I could go listen to it again, I'm not sure what the fuck we accomplished in that episode
or what happened.
But it is just a nice, like, I think it exemplifies what we are of just like, we're just going to roll with shit and see what happens and just keep joking around.
It also establishes that 3/4 of this podcast is dudes.
Reestablishes. I think we've established that pretty clearly.
Re-emphasizes
that 3/4 of this podcast is dudes.
I was going to say it, and then I chose not to, and then you guys said it, so that's cool.
We're self-aware.
On occasion.
Those were some fun episodes.
Bad gas kicking. Okay, hold on. Actually, naming wise, does our weapon have a dong?
Beautiful.
All me.
Yeah.
Bad gas kicking ass and true love season 1 finale. All Daniel.
Oh man, I was so proud. I'm sitting there like, oh god, sound effects are done. What the fuck do I name this?
You put that in the group chat. I was like, I love it. I don't know what the fuck why.
I didn't even look at the group chat. I just saw it when it was uploaded.
And then, I texted it to you earlier also. Like, just to you, I think.
I don't remember that.
Like, I'm like, I think I'm going to call this bad gas kicking ass and true love. And then nothing.
Then you explained it, and I'm like, this is fucking brilliant. Yeah. Once again, we've recorded so far ahead. Sometimes I'm lost in different things. I've moved on to the next season already, and so I forgot this episode. And Daniel explained it. I'm like, fuck, that's good. Fuck, that's really good.
So great. Bad guys kicking ass in true love is my favorite episode to edit and to listen to.
It, like I said, that's one of the episodes that's top 3 for me. I don't know where it ranks exactly, top 3, but it also brings me to my last question, Daniel. How the fuck did the Duke know who we were?
Thank you. That was like my only real question.
Let's just have a breakdown here. First of all, it was the anti-magic field.
Yeah, got okay. that.
So that 100%, he's like, oh, fuck, one of these assholes just cast magic.
No, got that bit.
Yeah. And the fact that possibly, maybe, just maybe, his name didn't really fucking change.
What was my name?
Silas Rumsbottom.
And you didn't really change an accent either.
Silas Rumsbottom.
Yeah, it was so totally just like...
Yeah.
Just that. It was just like this whole fucking...
I looked wildly different,
this whole
though.
Fucking situation, he probably was just kind of like, oh, it's these assholes again.
Okay. Like, that's it. It's as simple as that.
It was very much like, if you didn't cast that spell,
yeah,
you would have gone out there. He would have not known what was going on. But the moment you cast that spell, he was like, yeah, okay, it's these assholes again. Like, up till casting the spell, you were totally fine. Like, nothing. There would have been nothing. It would have just been, oh, these crazy assholes came off the street and talked to me.
I need to stop with the charm person ever.
But, like, yeah, no, the anti-magic field's been there the whole time. Because when you're a totalitarian mayor who rules over a town with an iron fist, adventurers are probably going to try to come kill you.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. That was all. It was just...
Audrey, you want to say anything about that episode?
Audrey's tired.
Yeah.
I also just, like, don't have a whole lot to say. honestly, about like a lot of this stuff. So, because you guys kind of just cover it, and
you can say whatever you got.
I will say thank you, though. Thanks to you, I think I rolled one of my greatest rolls I've ever probably the greatest roll I've ever rolled when I rolled a 41 for stealth. Was just brilliant.
Pass without trace came in clutch.
It's great.
Give me a plus 24. I rolled a 17. That was absolutely amazing for me. Yeah. And especially how the episode that's set up, it's, I think Sebastian says his number, Audrey says her number, and then Audrey's like, hey, Caleb, what'd you get? I got a 41.
That episode had so many good Caleb rolls, Rose rolls.
And the the whole setup before fighting the Duke was beautiful. Like, because you guys were just standing in town, kind of like floundering around, waiting for something to happen. I just kept going, so what are you guys doing? So what are you guys doing? So what are you guys doing? And we got moments like Bartholomew's House of Taco and Zaw, and buying bath bombs.
Oh, yeah.
That was
Xylus fucking backflipping someone to death. Then me coming out and going, oh my god, the bird was ginormous. I can't believe that bird. I've never seen that in my life.
It was a dead guy you were talking to. It was just that whole moment was just you guys sitting there waiting for me to say something, and I'm just going, so what are you up to?
I'm gonna practice my cartwheels. I'm gonna backflip a bitch.
So at moments like that, did you detect that we were just making shit up, or were you
towards the end?
Can you tell when we're just idling?
Yeah, like we legitimately don't have anything.
I feel like it happens
a
lot.
I've gotten better at it, but there are many moments where I don't recognize it very well until like either later I go, oh fuck, they were just idling, or Sebastian straight up tells me at work that was like, what the fuck was going on? I'm like, oh, well, I was just waiting for you guys.
Everything that I did in that moment was me just making shit up and just adding a little bit of details in. I was like, I'm just gonna Scooby Doo this shit and go to every fucking building in this fucking town.
You literally were like, is there any buildings I haven't got into?
Yeah. And I'm just like, I want to see how long I could just keep this going. We definitely carried over. Does Weapon have a dong energy into this beginning of this episode?
Does Weapon have a dong energy?
And like, I was
put it
like,
on a mug.
Like, it was so, like, yeah, no, it didn't occur to me that you were idling until, like, oh, God.
Was it the accidental? Was it the manslaughter, Daniel?
Did that do it? Did that let you know?
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was... Someone just straight up said, what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're just waiting for someone. Like, oh, well, shit, wait.
I thought it was like, can we just skip to when they show up?
That was it right there. And it was just like, oh, right, they're waiting.
Yeah.
You know, the like, moment I knew, because I was like, I'm going to go on this and just kind of bullshit this a little bit, see what else wants to do. The moment I knew everyone else was idling was when Silas was like, I want to get a fucking crunch wrap. I'm like, sweet. I'm not alone in this. Let's just keep bullshitting our way through this.
I went back because I puked it up.
Well, because you ate a fucking, you just like bit into a bath bomb and you were like, you ate the fucking bath bomb because Silas is a fucking moron.
And if I remember correctly, I think that happened pretty quickly because I went to go find a bakery because I wanted that. I was like, is there a fucking Taco Bell? I'm like, sweet. We're going to have 30 minutes of bullshitting.
No. It was not just the Taco Bell. It was the combination Pizza Hut Taco Bell, which turned into, because of marketing reasons and also copyright, Bartholomew's House of Taco and Zaw.
Yes.
I lovingly refer to it as Pizza Bell and Taco Hut.
And then I realized you guys were idling, and then the fight happened. Yeah. And it was probably one of the better fights we ever had. And then after the fight, you looted the place and had a party.
Yeah, that's us in a nutshell right there, Daniel. Yeah. Yep. We idle until we don't, kick ass, and then fucking burn the shit down and party.
And I think one of my favorite reactions was when I said there was 6,000 gold in the building, and all Sebastian can do is go,
I make some, when there's things I really like, I've realized I make some wild noises.
Some wild ass noise.
Like when we blew up the fucking mine, I was so happy about that.
It was crazy. Good. Yeah. A lot of money.
In his defense, that's way more gold than I thought was going to be involved in that.
I mean, we burned a bunch of it by getting the train, which is pretty worth it.
But
let's just establish.
Wait, season. Yeah, that hasn't happened yet. They don't know how much money we burnt on the train.
It was appraisals.
Holy crap.
Let's just establish that fight was not supposed to occur for a while.
Huh.
You just happened to amass enough assholes together to kick his ass.
We did some Avenger bullshit at the end.
Yeah, kind yeah. of. Like, I didn't. I'm like, oh crap! They're just like going to amass a whole entire like kick-ass squad of kick-ass, and that happened.
No, I've listened to all. I think all like five episodes, last five episodes in like this week type of thing. I realize we do dick all to build against the vampires for 13 episodes.
Yeah.
The last five were like, shit, this kid who needs a cram for the finals. Like, we probably should do something about
yeah.
that. And in five episodes, we combined, all three of us, fuck up Daniel shit so much of just like,
yeah.
hey, we know that person. We know that person. We know that person. Sweet. Now we have a fucking army. And yeah. we're like, sweet, we're going to go kill the Duke. And we're just like, and I just realized, and you can go, I'm probably going to listen to it all again eventually. And it's like, yeah, we do dick all for a bit experience. And then we're like, fuck, we messed up. We should have done a lot of this a lot sooner.
Hold on. Let's just establish that doesn't change ever.
No, it doesn't.
No.
And I've come to accept it, and it's beautiful.
And it's just like, and especially in like, I think it's crucial, like maybe three, two episodes where like we go from having very little to an Avenger level like army of like, sweet, we're going to kick some ass now.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we deploy the most effective we can. We just like, we don't want to break it too much.
I think you can count on one hand how many times we actually fought vampires.
Yeah. yeah.
Thrice.
That's what I thought. Yep. Three times.
Nope, twice. Sorry. Because there was Wet and Distressed yep. and the one where they attacked Hubble's house. And that's it. That's well, the only they, times you would...
They showed up and I like burned a bunch of them with water when we were in a hole at some
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's so true. Then,
but
true.
Was it like a real fight or was it just like...
Know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what happened there.
No, I People think died. It was like there is a wrestling out in the woods.
Yeah.
And then Xylus was like, I'm going to make it rain. And then yeah. they're just like...
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Daniel throws shiny side quests at us and we're like,
I know.
That's cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Vampire? What? There was vampires?
I do enjoy side quests. Yeah, no, it was like, ooh, vampires. Ooh, that's bad. Oh, man. Oh, a brewery? A fucking gay wizard dude? Yeah. Fucking library in a grain silo? Oh, this guy's a dick anyways and it might solve all of our problems. Let's kill him.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
I fully expected.
No, it's beautiful and I love it.
I fully thought when what's his name? Shrimp was giving us a list of three people. Mm-hmm. It was going to have nothing to do with vampires and we have to go find three separate people and not circle back to the thing we already talked about.
I thought it was just going to like work out. Yeah. It's like the first one, no. Second one, no. Third one, there you go.
Yeah.
Like no matter what kind of thing.
That was brilliant. And we just get, like I said, we get so sidetracked, we forgot about this Brocksmith side quest of like,
oh, and then we got
the problem was irrelevant.
Yeah.
Do you know that that whole side quest was supposed to take you to fucking Atla?
Yeah.
No, it was like your guys' first true adventure into Atla.
That's why you brought it up again. Yeah.
I think we probably, even if we knew that, like I was supposed to go to Atla, I think we probably would have been as a group of like, that's too far away. We got 2 days to the calling. We better get back and do shit.
Oh,
and
yeah. We probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 100%. Like, I'm like, yeah, no, that was totally planned. Of like, this is going to take several days and they're going to have to make a decision.
Yeah.
It was
great. Oh, man, make a decision.
Which us. The decision turned out to be, we should rescue this train out in the desert. You know, like a car you find out in the bushes.
It's just been fucking however many episodes of us collecting shit. Yeah. We have a light. We have a gay lighthouse where we each have our own rooms. We have a random band of companions. We have a fucking
we have our own rooms in.
Quite the network of people that we can just call up and be like, yo, can you do me a fucking favor, bro? Like, literally.
Not to mention the odd collection of weapons we have.
Oh, yeah.
I have a finger.
You have a finger?
And then, fuck, yeah, I just have a random finger. Like, from the brewery episode.
Oh, yeah.
Dagum's finger, right?
No, I have his eyeball, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no.
No, it says under Dagum's eyeball, random finger.
Yeah, we just do nonsense.
Yep, nope. Nonsense. Yep. Mm-hmm. And the end of that episode was probably one of my favorite dumbest scenes that ever occurred. Caleb's like, I need to roll luck.
Yeah, because I thought about it. I'm like, once again, I didn't plan this at all. It just happened the moment, like, I've kind of been going along with, like, my joke and everyone else saying, oh, that might be a thing. And I'm like, oh, fuck it, we'll just roll with it.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, shit, this would definitely happen. Getting beat blitzed out of your fucking mind that you don't remember dick I have to roll here. And it was one of those times, like I said, once again, I just have to make the narrative choice whether I want to or not. This is what's going to, should happen. And I rolled them like, fuck. I rolled, like, even I rolled them like, shit, I'm going to have to do this whole scene. I rolled, like, in my mind, I rolled poorly. Like, maybe Rose wanted to do it, like, as a character separately. Me as a person playing Rose, I'm like, I don't want to do this scene right now. I just rolled fucking poorly. I missed. I wanted to get above 10. I rolled, like, I think a 5 or whatever.
You rolled a 5.
I'm like,
rolled
a 5. There's no coming back from this. Even if I had a plus 5 constitution, I think that's still a failure. I rolled a 5. I'm going to have to do this scene that I had no plan for, which to me, I like, when I'm doing a conversation, I want to at least think about it a little bit. I had no plan for this. I just, on the moment, was like,
maybe,
fuck.
Maybe that, maybe because of that, it was possibly the truest moment because it could, that it could have been. Because if you were blitzed out of your mind, would you have thought about that moment? Or would you just come into it like,
I love you?
Absolutely not. But yeah, me as a podcaster is like, I need to plan a little bit what I'm going to say because I don't want to sound like a fucking idiot, even though I do most of the time anyways. And it's just like, shit, I'm so unprepared for this moment, but I'm going to have to force myself to do it because narratively, it's going to be fun.
And guess what? It was
a bunch of nonsense.
Yep.
Does anybody have anything else to say at 11:05 p.m. on a nice cool Wednesday? 46.4 degrees outside. It's nice warm 72 inside.
Why are we doing this on a Wednesday?
Because it's that Wednesday energy.
It's
that
good
Wednesday energy.
I do have a second question from somebody real quick. What's every character's favorite food?
I probably said it at some point.
I thought you said it was like pineapple.
I think I said pineapple.
Okay.
Was mine my weird, like, smoothie thing?
Yep, it was.
Probably.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think mine was grapefruits.
Hey, there we go. We capped that pineapple. One. Love pineapple.
What, you want a little weapons?
Sure.
Weapons.
Crayons.
The blood of his enemy. The blood of his enemy.
Crayons is really good. It's crayons and just... In the morning, he'll wake up, he'll grab his box of crayons, and then a scoop of protein powder.
Yeah.
He'll eat the crayons and just down the protein powder. That's... No liquid, just...
Scoop of crayons and a scoop of protein powder keeps the homunculus doctor away.
Maybe if he's feeling adventurous, he'll break the crayons up into the protein powder for a little bit of crunch.
Maybe do, like, multiple colors or something.
Oh, my God.
He goes through at least a 12-pack a morning.
Jeez. Holy shit.
If it's a bad day.
Does he eat the paper?
Yeah. Well, yeah, totally. That's roughage.
Also, real quick, I appreciate so much that just like randomly it was like, do you want to draw with me? And Dubs is like, yeah. So now I just have like someone to vandalize trains with. Like, I just have this little artistic baby that's going around with me. It's great. I love it.
It's artistic psychopath.
It's great.
This. Yeah.
Anyways, what's Marie's favorite food?
When Marie is stoned, it's French fries.
I was going to say tacos, but French fries is a good choice.
Tacos, too.
I think
that's... when she is stoned, it is whatever food that was put in front of her face. So
lasagna.
She was legitimately going to drink the human soup that Dr. Shrimp was making.
We know, Daniel. We know. That's why I had Hubble do a whole person spell. Like, this is going poorly for us.
When she is not stoned.
Lasagna.
Fuck, now I'm hungry again.
Taquitos.
Salad.
She is much like Daniel. She enjoys a burger and fries.
All right.
Yep.
Good to know.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it. You guys got anything else to say? Anything else to add?
I think real quick, I think based off this episode, I think you guys can just tell how much we really enjoy doing this. Because these enough recapping, going back everything, we're still laughing at this, and we really enjoy doing this podcast. So we thank you for listening, supporting us through it.
Do we just end it there?
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you. Bye.